from deep inside your radio.
We're in the Le Show Dome. Ladies and gentlemen, how much fun is that for this pre-Christmas edition of the broadcast? And what could be a better Christmas gift to our detainees at Guantanamo? You know, because we're a Christian country. The Christians are insisting on it. So what could be a better gift than telling the detainees, 6 months after the Supreme Court ruled that they have a right to go to court, that they have a right to go to court? The Pentagon has begun to formally notify some detainees at Guantanamo that they have the right to challenge their imprisonment in an American court. Coincidentally, this same week, the British House of Lords ruled that indefinite detention of detainees is unlawful in Great Britain. Didn't we get our law from them? No, we got it from the Ten Commandments. The three-paragraph letter from the Pentagon explains to each detainee that he is a member or supporter of Al-Qaeda or the Taliban and can be jailed at Guantanamo. It then informs the detainees, some of whom have been held for nearly 3 years without charges or access to lawyers, that they have the right to contest the lawfulness of the military's decision to hold them. It doesn't tell them, however, that pro bono lawyers are available. It says to contact relatives or friends to file a petition, and if they are unable, to file one themselves. Attorneys complain it will take at least 6 months for a detainee's letter to reach his family or the court because of security screening at Guantanamo Bay, don't you know? He could get a lawyer overnight. Merry Christmas, detainees, from a very Christian country. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Christmas Apologies of the Week.
We're so sorry.
Yes. What a wonderful time of the year to say I'm sorry. Or say sorry, sorry, sorry. Oliver Stone has apologized for offending Turkey with his Oscar-winning film Midnight Express, which featured powerful images of appalling prison conditions and brutality that have haunted the country for decades. Visiting Turkey for the first time since the movie was released in 1978, Stone admitted over-dramatizing the screenplay, which he wrote. The script, which won Stone an Oscar in 1979, was based exclusively on interviews with Billy Hayes, an American sentenced to 30 years in prison for smuggling drugs into Turkey. It's true I overdramatized the script, Stone told reporters in Istanbul before holding talks with Turkey's culture and tourism minister. But the reality of Turkish prisons at the time was also referred to by various human rights associations. Stone said he'd been fearful of visiting Turkey for a long time because of the effect the movie had on the country. For years, I heard the Turkish people were angry with me, and I didn't feel safe there, he told the daily newspaper in Turkey. That's the guts we've come to associate with Oliver Stone. I thought they didn't like me, so I didn't go there. Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas apologized to Kuwaitis, Never Too Late Department, for Palestinian support of former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein during the 1991 Gulf War. This was his latest gesture to mend fences with Arab nations offended by the late Yasser Arafat over the years. Apologies from Carolina. Leaders at Cary Christian School say they are not condoning slavery by using Southern Slavery as It Was, a booklet that attempts to provide a biblical justification for slavery, and asserts that slaves weren't treated as badly as people think. One of the authors of the booklet is a Moscow, Idaho pastor, Douglas Wilson. The booklet's other author is a member of the board of directors of the Alabama-based League of the South. After an article appeared in the News Observer about the pamphlet, Cary Christian School dropped the pamphlet and issued a statement. Today, the News and Observer published a rather negative article about Cary Christian School and our use of a small booklet. Within the article, it stated the booklet has received criticism from a number of historians. We were unaware of these findings and, as a result, have already pulled the booklet from our curriculum. At no time has slavery ever been condoned in our curriculum. We apologize for this oversight and covet your prayers for our school. And across the border in South Carolina, Folly Beach Mayor, that's right, Vernon Knox, issued an apology in the wake of the latest such incident that we've come to expect in this department. An automobile crash earlier this month that led to his arrest on a drunken driving charge. Unfortunately, the name of the city, he says, has been in the forefront of all accounts. For that, I humbly apologize to the citizens of Folly Beach and will endeavor to repair any damages caused. The mayor thanked those and who called and wrote him in the days after the crash. 51-year-old Knox has a previous DUI conviction from 1987. The Philadelphia School District apologized to a parent who complained this week after a teacher's aide mistakenly showed the PG-13 rated Spider-Man to kindergartners and first graders. It was an honest mistake and one that will not be repeated, said Linda Grobman, the regional district administrator. The principal apologized to the parent and has put in place a system to ensure that young students, and quite frankly, all students, will not view a PG-13 movie. Spider-Man is rated PG-13 because of, quote, stylized violence and action, unquote. Also in education-related apologies, the University of Northern Colorado has shelved plans to award $189,000 in bonuses to administrators next year after an angry backlash from faculty members who haven't gotten a raise in 2 years. UNC President Kay Norton said the bonuses could be a worthwhile tool, but her plan to award them wasn't well executed. For that, she said, I apologize. She said that in an email. The bonuses were awarded, or were going to be awarded, to administrators. Well, isn't that who really does the education? Dateline New York, before reprinting a decades-old article, always make sure that it was not the subject of a libel suit the first time around. If you don't, you may run into the same problem faced by Esquire magazine, which has had to apologize again to columnist William F. Buckley and shell out some money and temporarily stop the distribution of a book. In 2003, Esquire republished a collection of essays from the magazine, one of which was a 1969 article by Buckley's arch-nemesis Gore Vidal that had been the center of a libel action. Esquire had settled the original by apologizing to Buckley and compensating him for legal costs. Present management was not aware of the history of this litigation and greatly regrets the republication of the libel in the current collection. The note that will appear in Esquire and National Review affirms. Dateline Sendai, Japan, a former announcer of Higashi Nippon Broadcasting Company who used a video camera to secretly film up a high school student's skirt, has been arrested. The former announcer, Koshiki Sasagawa, was arrested on suspicion of violating an ordinance that forbids people from creating a public nuisance. He's admitted to the allegations against him. It was just for amusement, he said. We want to apologize to the victim and residents in the prefecture, his company said in a message from the firm's general affairs manager. Some apologies related to racial and religious sensitivities. Dateline Milwaukee State Representative Annette Polly Williams apologized for a statement in which she criticized, quote, members of the Jewish community for their role in recent developments surrounding the Marva Collins Preparatory School. The earlier statement brought strong reactions from the Jewish community and from some members of the Black Women's Network that the state representative Williams leads. Williams wrote she was appalled by what some people were saying about famed African-American educator Marva Collins as part of a dispute related to whether her name will continue to be used by the school. She wrote, we're especially appalled that members of the Jewish community who operate the school are attacking Ms. Collins' integrity. In her apology letter, Williams wrote, I sincerely apologize to the Jewish community for any pain that my comments may have caused. I acted totally on emotions and take full responsibility for my comments. And, on the other hand, Dateline Minneapolis, where I just was. Whoa, is that cold up there. Hey, Minneapolis, you can't hear me. A Star Tribune reporter was disciplined after he disclosed that he wrote an email to a Minneapolis police official that contained racially insensitive language. David Chanin, a police reporter, told editors he used the term colored officers in an email sent Wednesday to a police inspector, Donald Banham, who is black. Star Tribune managing editor Scott Gillespie sent a letter to the Minneapolis police chief saying the newspaper, quote, owes you and your department a deep and sincere apology for the language used in the email. The editor and reporter said the reporter had intended to use instead the term officers of color, but made an error in rushing to send the email. That's right. Colored officer is offensive. Officer of color is not. Dateline New Zealand former artillery commander John Masters said the apology by Veterans Affairs Minister George Hawkins of the New Zealand government did not provide closure. Hawkins issued an apology as part of the government's response to a finding by the Health Select Committee that the New Zealand troops were exposed to dioxin in Vietnam between June 64 and December 92. In a statement, Hawkins, the Veterans Affairs Minister, said he was very happy that he's the minister in charge of a government which saw the need for these issues to be investigated and addressed. The government offers a formal apology to Vietnam veterans for the failure of governments in the past to recognize that the veterans were exposed to a toxic environment during their service in Vietnam. What are they bitching about? They could have been running for president of the Ukraine. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, an emotional Bernard Kerik admitted, quote, "I'm not perfect," and begged forgiveness from everyone in sight for his bungled nomination for Homeland Security Chief, including two women with whom he had affairs. This story, this is the best Christmas gift we could ever get, and the best reason for the continued existence of tabloid newspapers, because it's been covered in great detail by the New York Daily News and the New York Post, even. The New York Times trailing, strangely, in this regard. Kerik acknowledged a close relationship with correction officer Janet Pinero and book publisher Judith Regan, with whom he reportedly carried on simultaneous affairs. The residence in question where the affairs were carried on was originally lent to the New York Police Department for the rest of officers stressed from dealing with 9/11. It did change everything. Kerik also apologized to President Bush as well as to his political patron Rudy Giuliani, who recommended him to Bush. He insists he withdrew his nomination solely because his family's nanny had a dubious immigration status and he'd failed to pay nanny taxes. He dropped out as a host of other questions were erupting over his $6 million profit on Taser stock, a court order on unpaid condo fees in New Jersey, links to mob-owned construction business, taking gifts while police commissioner of New York, and his simultaneous affairs. But none of that was the reason he pulled out. It's the nanny, which the New York Times now says may not even exist. After days of these embarrassing revelations, Rudy Giuliani scolded Kerik, saying he has a fair amount of explaining to do. "This is an aspect of Bernie's personality that needs to be changed," Giuliani said. "In this area, being careful, he is challenged, really challenged." Unquote Rudy Giuliani, who recommended him to be Homeland Security Chief. "In this area, being careful, he is challenged, so he should be Homeland Security Chief," Rudy Giuliani, ladies and gentlemen. When Giuliani was asked how he felt toward Kerik, the ex-mayor said he wouldn't describe it as angry. "I remain his friend." He also hired Kerik to work in his security consulting firm, Giuliani Kerik. So, and this New York City Department of Investigation has launched a probe into the ethical breaches committed by Bernard Kerik. This is one of two investigations confronting him. Merry Christmas, Bernie. Hello, welcome to the show.
John had it all. He was rich, he was tall, and his wife, she was richer still. He went for the prize, it was his in his eyes, so all he lacked was the will. All he lacked was the will. Christmas for John is no spread on the lawn, he's off to Iraq looking grim. He's out there, of course, to thank the folks of the force, few of whom voted for him. Few of whom voted for him. And it's Christmas in oblivion, where a man can be a man. There's money to spend, it was left at the end. There are no inaugural dinners to plan. Teresa's out in Idaho singing multicultural songs. It's Christmas in oblivion. That's where John belongs. That's where John belongs. Bernie was tough, and that was enough for the man he was fixin' to serve. The track was too fast for a look at his past. He'd prevail with nothing but nerve. He'd prevail with nothing but nerve. But mistresses sang, and the IRS rang, and a nanny can make a good beard. So he's home with the wife the rest of his life. The cabinet just disappeared. Yes, DC just disappeared. And it's Christmas in oblivion. Not even the media care. There are no gifts in the hall, and Rudy won't call. The reindeer are frightened by Bernie's mad stare. Santa just sent some lawyers, 'cause that's all that Bernie needs. It's Christmas in oblivion. Even the tough guy bleeds. Even the tough guy bleeds.
This is Jimmy Sheldon with holiday greetings from Overland Records. Here it is, almost Christmas already, and very soon we'll be starting a new year. We thought it would be interesting to use this little disc to wish you a happy holiday season. On the other side, you heard Elisa Martini sing The Promise of Ruth. That's one martini that we heartily recommend for the holiday season, and certainly one that you won't be able to get too much of. We're sure of that. We want to take this opportunity to thank you for your kind attention to and interest in Overland Records. In fact, that's one of the most important things that we want to talk to you about on this little disc. So many of you nice people who have added the Nocturne, that is the Nob Hill Nocturne, to your record collections have expressed a desire and a wish that there was some way that you could get it to the right people and focus more attention on it. Well, this Christmas we want to make it possible for many of you to do just this. Since Overland is not one of the big record giants in the industry, the success of our albums and other records is dependent upon your active, enthusiastic support. In the near future, of course, we hope to be joining that illustrious group of major labels, but for now we rely on personal contact for promotion and exposure of our products. Wherever it is heard, the Nob Hill Nocturne is received with great enthusiasm. Our problem is getting it heard more exposure. So we turn to you, our friends, who have included the Nocturne in your record collections, for help along these lines. We have made a special Christmas price list, which is included in this little package, and we hope that you will find the Nob Hill Nocturne album the ideal answer to some of your Christmas shopping problems. Some of you nice people have shopping problems as far as gifts for your employees or other group Christmas gifts, and we feel this album is the ideal answer to those problems. Everybody loves good music. And I would like to say that if you find the Nob Hill Nocturne album the answer to your Christmas problems, let me assure you that it will also be the answer to some of our problems here at Overland Records. Overland has great plans for the future. We have high hopes of presenting some wonderful new stars that have expressed a desire to be heard through Overland Records. Wonderful talents like Elisa Martini, who you just heard on the other side of the record, Tanya Marie, Craig Adams, Johnny It's in the Book Stanley, Jan McClung, and many others have expressed a desire to be a part of the Overland Record family. As for my own works, we have slated for early 63 release the Bel Air Concerto, which has been partially recorded, and then the Diaphanous Rhapsody, the First Lady Waltz, and many others. Many exciting musical events ahead in Overland Records plans. You can help hasten these plans and dreams by spreading the Overland musical message over land, over the seas, and in the air, as the saying goes. We hope that you have a happy holiday season. God bless you. We can't thank you enough for your interest in our efforts. And we hope that you'll be hearing great things from Overland Records in the months ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. From the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to the show. In one of its more delicate rulings of recent years, the British television watchdog has ruled that a pig sexually pleasured on television by a minor celebrity did not feel degraded by the experience. This is, you know, we here in this country are dealing with an FCC, which has opened an investigation into alleged offensiveness by the NBC coverage of the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, because there were men and women wearing bodysuits emulating naked statues, even without the, as the British call it, the tackle. Now, which reminds me, we should be, now there is no law against stupidity, as there is against indecency. Still, since the Parents Television Council is generating a wave of complaints about indecency, shouldn't there be a wave of complaints inundating the FCC on the other side, just complaining about stupidity of a particular, the inanity of particular broadcasts? They wouldn't, you know, they won't investigate, but they have to read them. Anyway, back to Britain. Dozens of viewers complained about the episode in the so-called reality television show The Farm, in which a series of celebrities were sent to do tough work with agricultural crops and animals. The audience saw Rebecca Luce, the self-proclaimed ex-lover of England soccer captain David Beckham, stimulating the boar for 10 minutes to produce a flask of semen. Many viewers complained to the government's Office of Communications that this was, quote, akin to bestiality, unquote. A leading animal charity condemned the scenes as morbid and sordid. You remember them. They were vaudeville act. In a ruling released recently, Ofcom cleared broadcaster Channel 5 of breaching the decency standard, saying the procedure was perfectly normal. Quote, the task performed by Rebecca Luce is one that occurs regularly on UK farms. It was properly supervised by a qualified veterinary surgeon, was carried out for a genuine purpose to artificially inseminate the pigs on the celebrity farm, the ruling said. We don't believe that the scene was degrading or harmful to the boar. They didn't rule on whether it was degrading to Miss Luce, since That is a conceptual impossibility, apparently. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we started with a musical postcard from a conceptual place, Oblivion, a musical Christmas postcard therefrom. We'll have musical Christmas postcards from other locations where the United States has made its presence felt over the years, starting with late 1980s, down Panama way.
It's a holiday today. You can shop, but don't you pay. Break the glass, take what you want, and wheel it all away. It's time to shoot and shout. Noriega's been thrown out, but keep your head down. He's still around. He's mad without a doubt. When you work with CIA, they don't care about what you say. You can rot your brain and deal cocaine. You can even turn out gay. But when they pull the plug, cannot be slick or smug. It's the end, you're the devil's friend, and they'll squash you like a bug. So trim the tree with liberty. Uncle Sam is back to get us on track. Who needs police unless you own a store? 'Cause it's Christmas. When you want democracy, it's very plain to see. It's a gift from the Colossus across the Caribbean Sea. We'll keep our heads afloat, maybe eat some goat. And if our luck can hold before we get old, we might even get to vote. If you're wanting Santa Claus, please hold your applause. He's hiding too, he doesn't want to give the Yanks any more last straws. But don't fret and don't you grieve, and don't even try to leave. Just wait to see the fireworks we have for New Year's Eve. So trim the tree with liberty. There'll be more bread, 'cause of all the dead. Invasions really are what a friend is for. When it's Christmas.
Bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free. Someday at Christmas, there'll be no wars. When we have learned what Christmas is for, when we have found what life's really worth, then someday all our dreams will come to be. Someday in a world where men are free. Maybe not in time for you and me, but someday at Christmas time. Someday at Christmas we'll see a land with no hungry children, no empty hand. One happy morning
Christmas, man will not fail. Hate won't be gone. This week on public television, a different kind of Christmas special. No singing, no celebrities, no snow, no Santa. Spend an hour of your holiday season lighting up the tree inside as Deepak Chopra takes you on a journey to the Christmas within.
There's no room at the inn. There's no room inside. Don't scorn the innkeeper. Make some room. Clean out at least a stable's worth of your brain for the baby that is you.
Only on public television. A Christmas special. This special.
So, given what we know about the man-body connection, what was Rudolph feeling that made his nose turn red? Asking that question is the present we should be giving ourselves.
If you think a Christmas special has to be colorful, you're in for a treat.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. Let's find the center of that snow.
Christmas Within, the Deepak Chopra Holiday Special, only on public television. We entertain notions, not people.
This is Le Show, and now, time for tales, Christmas tales of airport security, so-called, because I'm reading a non-seasonally related tale just before Christmas. Thank you. Dear Harry, I'm a transplanted European, a lawful resident and citizen of this country for close to 23 years. On occasion, my line of work requires me to travel, and recently I was returning to my hometown of San Francisco from Toronto, Ontario. My return flight to SFO had been split into two segments, the first with United into Las Vegas, the second with America West from Vegas to SFO. I checked my one bag in Toronto, which is tagged to arrive in SFO on my scheduled America West flight 873, departing from McCarran Airport in Vegas. The layover between the two flights in Vegas was tight, made worse by having to go outside Terminal 2, then enter Terminal 1 and go through security all over again, since apparently the people who built the second terminal never thought of connecting the two. Finding out where to go, plus getting there, took close to 15 minutes. In a twist that later turned out to be the crucial insult, the airline would not allow me to check into my flight from the front desk at Terminal 1. I was told that the only way to check in was at the departure date, the departure gate, due to non-specified security reasons. Never mind that I had been able to check into all my previous flights, America West included, from front desks at other airports, but now this particular front desk was suddenly no good. I had to go through a security check again, and I was forced to spend another 10 minutes or so being wanded for my Canadian dimes and rivets in my jeans. By the time I finally reached the gate, it was 10 minutes to departure time. I had a first-class ticket, so I thought I would be able to just breeze through, but lo and behold, the gate had already been closed. The plane was still there, but the doors were closed, and the access tube had been detached. None of my pleading and outraged complaints reached or moved the person at the gate, who remained unflinching. Everybody who had checked in was on the plane, and they were allowed to close the plane early if everybody was inside. I begged for them to reattach the tube and open the door for me, for which there was clearly still time, but of course, that could not be done for security reasons. So there I am watching Flight 873 leave without me, forced to wait 2.5 hours for Flight 875. Once I got to SFO hours later, my bag never came out of the baggage conveyor. And where was it? In the America West Luggage Deposit Office, where it had waited for me for over 2 hours. It came in on Flight 873. Moral of the story, I had been told at the gate in Vegas that all those who had checked in had boarded Flight 873, but my bag ended up in that very plane. So it turns out that it does not qualify you as checked in if your bag is on board. Nobody cross-checks. So maybe, just maybe, not really all those who had checked in were on board. B, is it not a supreme breach of security to have a bag inside any plane without its rightful owner present in the cabin? Isn't that one of those classic telltale signs that something might have been planned for that flight? I'll take a train next time. San Francisco to Toronto with sleeping cabin. Signed, Marco. Tales of Airport Security, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Maybe I'm a little more motivated this week, since last week I was selected for special security screening 3 days in a row on 3 different one-way flights. Thank you very much. My arms are up. One more apology. Authorities in Bosnia's Serb-dominated entity Republika Srpska have apologized. They've also offered indicted war criminals 25,000 euros each for voluntarily surrendering. The deal has been offered to 13 Bosnian Serbs indicted for war crimes. The offer expires by the end of the year, so hurry! The deal also promises the families of indicted war criminals who turn themselves in a monthly stipend for 2 annual trips for 4 to The Hague, where the trials will be. It also offers educational stipends of up to 100 euros per month for the suspect's children. Isn't that what Saddam Hussein did for the families of the suicide bombers? Subsidized their children? Yeah, it was. The Bosnian Serb authorities are facing growing pressure from the international community to cooperate with the International Court, International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia, or suffer international isolation. The apology came from Serbian President Boris Tadic to the victims of Serb atrocities during the Bosnian War. Quote, "I apologize to all those who suffered from crimes committed in the name of Serb people," he said during his visit to Bosnia. He also made it clear Serb victims deserved an apology as well. A musical Christmas postcard from then.
We've just had a visit from Jimmy Carter. They're not shooting much now, the weather's too bad. There's nothing to buy, not much to barter. It's a lovely ceasefire, the best that we've had. 200 miles away from our city, former East Germans get Mercedes-Benzed. Here, where the chatter used to be witty, we're occupied getting ethnically cleansed. It's a Sarajevo Christmas. Christians and Muslims, be of good cheer. There's no goose on the table, but fasting for Ramadan will be easy this year. Our enemies want our city divided. We haven't heard lately from our friends. Isn't this how one world war started? Isn't this how the century ends? We've got more tinsel than NATO protection. Elves would help more than the good old UN. Somebody order some Kevlar for Santa. Nobody ever say never again. It's a Sarajevo Christmas. Christians and Muslims, be of good cheer. A manger would be an improvement, but we've got peace till the first of the year.
They call me back, no Santa. I make my runs about the break of day. Break a day. Oh, oh, oh. I make all the little girls happy while the boys are out to play. Look at him. I ain't like old Saint Nick. He don't come but once a year. Oh, 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 oh. I ain't like old Saint Nick. He don't come but once a year. Every time you call me dear. Look at here. I keep some change in my pocket, chase the children at home. I give them a few pennies so that we can be alone. I leave the back door open so if anybody smells a mouse, and with no sound I'll be in trouble if ain't no chimney in the house. They call me back door Santa. I make my runs about the break of day. Look at here. I make all the little girls happy while the boys are out to play. That's what they call me, backdoor Santa. That's what they call me. They call me backdoor Santa. That's what all the girls call me. I give them all the presents. That's what they call me. They call me backdoor Santa.
This is Ozzy Osbourne, and crazy is cool, but drinking and driving is beyond crazy. It's stupid. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
Thanks, Ozzy. It's so hard to remember that. It really helps when you come by and lay that on us. Ladies and gentlemen, a musical postcard from the recent past. In Afghanistan.
We swore in Karzai and we swore off Rabbani. For one day, maybe it's okay to be Afghani. The stockings are hung by the chimney with care. It's the only place to hang anything there. The gift has been given. The Taliban beaten. No reindeer will visit. They know they'll be eaten. Only Wayne Newton would come this far. 'Cause it's Christmas in Kandahar. We fought side by side with Uzbeki and Turker. We've shaved off the beard and thrown off the burqa. It's still a surprise when we look in the mirror and see standing behind us Geraldo Rivera. Santa's crossed off his list the land where we dwell. We've been naughty this year, and Muslim as well. Drew Carey went by in an army car. Must be Christmas in Kandahar. We've mastered the problem of trimming the tree. We've covered it with a fine coat of explosive debris. There's no way to drive and no way to call. There's no stuff in the stores. There aren't any stores. And there isn't a mall. There's no Cathy Lee and no Charlie Brown. Just a couple of thousand Marines out on the town. Ramadan this year was strictly subpar. Now it's Christmas in Kandahar.
Thank you for the chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide songs being sung by a choir and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows some turkey and some mistletoe can help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's bringing lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh, and every mother's child is going to spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And that is why I'm offering you this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, a standing rebuke to the current red state, blue state construct of the cultural state of the nation is the peculiar fact that although this broadcast is marginally available in New York City and was available for all of 9 weeks out of its 21-year history in Washington, D.C., and never available on the air in Boston and not in Seattle. It's up there in Duluth. It's in Alaska. It's in the Dakotas. It's in Texas. See what I'm saying? This whole red state, blue state thing needs some reexamination. Apropos of which, I was so delighted to actually run into people in Duluth, Minnesota, ladies and gentlemen, who were avid listeners to this broadcast. Think of it. Duluth. I was amazed their radios hadn't frozen over. But there they were. So a tip of the Le Chaux Chapeau to them, to you folks, for coming out on a cold night last week. And you folks in the San Francisco Bay Area, this is the last chance to see Judith Owen doing Christmas in July, Monday night at the Makeout Room. I'll be playing bass with her. I don't normally mention this stuff on the air. But it's Christmas. It's Christmas time. I'm feeling generous. And so a tip of the Le Chaux Chapeau, thanks for all the contributions throughout the year to the folks who man the San Diego and the Pittsburgh desks of this broadcast, and happy holidays to them, as to you all. Next week, the Year in Rebuke resumes with a look back at a little thing called the presidential campaign. I seem vaguely to remember it. So that will be next week at this same time on these same stations when Le Chaux returns. That is the Christmas, pre-Christmas, pre-Christovanica broadcast of this program. The tradition continues, ladies and gentlemen. Le Chaux returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America, via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz, around the world via the internet, on your computer at two different locations, live and archived, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com. On the PRI channel of Sirius Satellite Radio, I think it's channel 108, multiple times, and available as a free download from www.audible.com/leshow. So many ways to avoid listening. Think of it. And it would be just like Bernie Carrick having a third mistress, if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. And a happy holiday greeting to him as well. Le Show playlists always available at harryshearer.com. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.